Blog Talk Radio.
Cannoli. Welcome, ladies and germs, as they used to say back in the vaudevillian days, to Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Wednesday night edition, February 17th, 2010. Gentlemen and ladies of the jury, what a night. I am hyped up. Why am I hyped up? I am celebrating the 75th anniversary of Carvel ice cream. That's right. 75 years of soft serve ice cream. A 45-year-old man almost. So what's that? 30 years without me. Almost 45 years of eating delicious Carvel ice cream. That is not a paid advertisement. But that's the reason I'm on a sugar high. I'm rocking and rolling. Vanilla soft serve with chocolate sprinkles. Hockey is all over the place. Olympic hockey. You knew I was going to start talking about hockey eventually after that ice cream deluge of that I just spewed forth. Olympic hockey tonight. Henrik Lundqvist is in the nets for Team Sweden. And I saw a lot of fans were joking and musing that, hey, he's playing for Sweden. He might actually play for a team that gets two or three goals in a game. So, let's hope. We're rooting for Henrik. That game is starting right about now, and I'm glad everybody that's maybe watching and joining us at the same time. And we love you guys, and we love all the opinions. And last night, for Jay of the Dead, who missed the program. Oh, it was frantic. It was crazy. The opinions were flying. And the fur was flying, so to speak, in and out of the chat room and on the airwaves. Now that I've done with my little monologue, I'd like to introduce my partner in internet crime. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy, the Jim Schmiedeberg. Jimmy, how you doing tonight?
Good evening. Well, I'll tell you, you're eating Carvel ice cream. I just polished off a spicy McChicken and a McDouble and some fries and washing it down with a soda. This is the healthiest hockey show on the internet, my friends. I'll tell you.
You love that McDonald's. We've been talking before the show. You eat McDonald's a lot. I like their cheeseburgers. I'm not much of a fast food guy anymore. I think I just ate everything. I'm tired of it, really. I like the Taco Bell. But You love the full menu at McDonald's?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I like McDonald's is because it's cheap. And we're on a budget here, and they got that dollar menu. I love it. Yes, there are certain things at McDonald's that I am fond of. I also have a fondness for Burger King, and of course, being back out west, Jack in the Box. Oh, love it. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for fast food, I'm telling you, I'd weigh 150 pounds. I'd weigh 150 pounds.
Wow. I'm a pizza guy myself. I can eat pizza before it comes out my ears.
I love
remember
that, too.
Remember our favorite pizza incident when we hung out in the city? That was pretty funny. But
yeah.
The fans don't care about this.
Remember we were making fun of that guy with his coffee at that restaurant? That was funny.
Well,
Marcy is already complaining about us. Don't eat that crap. Well, you know what, Marcy? It's part of who I am, damn it.
I love Marcy because she's a firecracker. And anybody
that's
a firecracker can get a life.
She
brings passion to the chat rooms. She brings passion to her Rangers fans, and I love it. She's a firecracker. Anyway.
She's a Ranger fan. She knows her team. She loves the team. She's very attractive, and she scares the living hell out of me.
Not like your first wife?
I
hate to keep bringing up the first wife kind of deal. But.
She's not happy with me again either, by the way. We'll talk.
Oh, yeah? What's going down? Yeah, let's hear it. What's going on?
That's an off-air conversation, my friend. That is an off-air conversation. Anyway, we're going to talk about hockey. What is it? Your favorite line. We're going to talk about hockey?
Well, sure, let's talk about some puck. I mean, I asked you before the game, and I'm like, what do you got? And he goes, I got nothing.
I got nothing.
Oh, boy, it's going to be a long show. I mean,
it's a show about nothing.
Well,
we're relying tonight on the guests and relying on our chat room and our callers.
Right.
We got Mike Zippel coming up in a little while. He is already in the chat room. He's going to give us the update on the Fire Seder rally. And then we're going to have Nick checking in from Vancouver. He will call us, I believe, after the second period of the Sweden game, which he is at. So we got some stuff to talk about tonight. We'll have some fun. I think Joe Fortunato is going to call in a little bit later and say hi. We've already got somebody on the line from Skype. I don't know who that is. And hello to everyone in the chat room. B2, our good friend B23 Blue Pain, who was with us at that pizza joint with the bad coffee, is in the chat room. And Jay the Dead and Mike Zippo and Marcy and a couple of guests that we always like to see. Those guests, you guys got to log in and get in the chat room and get on the phones here. We want to hear from you tonight. So the phone number 646.
See what we got going on Skype. I'm sorry. Go ahead with the
phone. Okay. 646-478-4692 is your, as Mike, Chris Russo used to say, your two-way sports talk telephone number. So let's go to Skype. Let's see who this is. Good evening. You are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Eddie. Who is this? Hello? Hello? Go once. Are you there? Skype caller, are you there? Or unknown caller, are you there? Sometimes Fred the Grump calls in on these unknown numbers, but nobody's there, and we hang up. The show is off to another
beautiful,
fantastic start.
I'm not going to help you make an idiot out of yourself.
I don't need your help. I'll do it myself.
Exactly.
I think it's on CNBC, by the way. Isn't the game, they're discussing what the game, the Sweden game is on. I think it's on CNBC. That's what I read on your illustrious site, blueshirtbanner.com.
That's right.
Right.
It's your site, too. You are a part of it. You're on the masthead. You know, despite Zippay and Brooks's best efforts to keep you off, your voice must be heard.
I think you can be heard without a microphone. It comes so loud. It's ridiculous. But yeah, it's a lot. Listen, I'm proud to be part of BlueStripesBanner.com. I know, and it's a great website. And the other website, which RangerCrisis.com, which I started, which is primarily a video blog. I don't really do too much, posting just about my opinion. You know, this show is a great venue to do that. We're coming up on a one-year anniversary of RangerCrisis.com, and I think I'm going to put up the infamous Ranger Crisis show number 50, which by far has been the most controversial video entry in RangerCrisis.com history.
That's got to be your draft party, right?
Yes. When I went to the Islander draft party with John Tavares was selected, I nearly got myself killed.
That was the first of your videos that I ever saw. I remember that you and Joe had met before. I guess it was like right before we started doing the radio show, Joe and I, and he had met you maybe a week before or whatever. And our very first show, you called in, and I'm just thinking, who the hell? What is? I mean, I'm laughing, but I'm like, what is with this guy? And Joe's like, oh, I met him. He's crazy. You'll love him. Blah blah blah. And then I heard about your website, and I went and checked it out. And I'm like, oh my, this is the funny. I mean, I was in tears laughing at watching that video. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And it's been a bromance ever since, my friend. It's been a bromance ever since. I want to tell a quick story here, because Chris Jay of the Dead just mentioned, because I mentioned Chris Russo. He said he knows nothing about hockey, and he says nothing about hockey, and that is absolutely true. And I have a funny memory of Chris Russo from the 1994 parade. Forgive me for bringing it up, but I was there. The 1994 parade, Chris Russo and Mike Francesa are in the back of some convertible that was just smoking, it was awful. Things blowing smoke all over the Canyon of Heroes. But anyway, they start going by our group, and everybody knew what big phonies they were as far as hockey's concerned. And everybody's chanting at them, "You suck." And I have Chris Russo, my brother has this videotape, hopefully he still has it, of the parade. And it's a videotape of Chris Russo looking right at me and pointing while I'm screaming at him, "You suck." and then a year later, I ran into Chris Russo at Newark Airport. He was headed down to Florida for spring training. He was going to go to the Yankees and Mets spring training. And he was standing right in front of me online at Newark Airport. And he kept looking at me like he knew me from somewhere. And I'm like, man, if this guy remembers that I was chanting, "You suck," we're going to have a problem here at the airport. But anyway, I digress. Enough about him. He doesn't talk about us on his show. We should be talking about him on ours.
Oh, he will be. Oh, he will be.
Well, he might be coming here for a job one day. There's one Howard. If Howard leaves Sirius when his contract's over, Sirius going right down the crapper.
Yeah, I would think so. So, getting back to my illustrious website, RangerCrisis.com, which isn't really all that illustrious, think about it. But I noticed that Jay of the Dead mentioned that episode number 62 is my best work. And frankly, I don't remember what 62 was about. But there's one where I overdubbed my voice over an old-time Ranger game and was saying something like, and Glenn Hall, not Glenn Hall, I forget who it was. So Glenn Hall gives up the goal and he goes home to beat his wife or something. Jokingly, this was a joke, ladies and gentlemen. And so tomorrow, I just want to give a preview of what I'm going to be uploading for you old-time Ranger fans who like the old-time games. Not so much old-time. But an October 27th game, 1984, Rangers versus Quebec Nordiques. Rangers win 5-2. Sandstrom gets a goal. Don Maloney, Pierre LaRouche has a big game. 2 goals to assist.
Lucky Pierre.
And which I think is no team had a power play in the game, which I found kind of weird. Huh. Okay. Moving on. So,
speaking of anniversaries, March 19th, which is just a few short weeks away, is the one-year anniversary of the debut of Blue Shirt Banner.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll have a
You took that thing out of the dumper, and now it is in the stratosphere of Ranger Internet Land. I mean, that's where the people go for the information, Jim. Even I go to.
Well, I don't know if we were in the dumper, but we start. I mean, we started from nothing. I mean, we started from absolutely nothing. Well, okay, if you want to call that the dumper, but and Schmeeds too. If you see his comment in the chat room, he loves the logo. That's because he designed it.
Very good.
Or he came up with the concept anyway. It was tweaked a little bit, but he was the concept man behind our logo. But yeah, I mean, we started from nothing. I mean, the original. I remember the first game thread we did. It was me and Ryan McFadden, the Manic Ranger. It was just him and I talking back and forth, just trying to get comments going in case, you know, anybody came and looked in. I mean, I was doing anything I could to just get people to come into that website on a daily basis, and things really didn't take off until we got to the playoffs, and then people started to take notice a little bit, and then we went from there, and then we started this show, and that's definitely helped as well, and all the other little things. You know, we've worked very hard to get it where it is, and we should all be proud. But we'd be nothing if it wasn't for everybody out there. So again, I appreciate it. So we're looking forward to the big 1 year anniversary, and I don't know what we're gonna do, but I don't know, we'll come up with something. Message. Oh boy. So anyway, you guys want to call in 646-478-4692. We're gonna have Mike Zippo in a little while, and we're gonna have Nick checking in from Vancouver. And let's go to the phones again, and we'll bring in James. James, good evening, and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm fine. I missed you guys last night.
We missed you.
I mean, I got home. I was dead tired. I got on real quick to try to chat, and I was falling asleep, man. So I couldn't do anything. I was just dead. I was dead to the world. But I just came on early tonight, and I was one of the guests, actually. When Jim says there's a couple of guests there, I made my screen name like 2 weeks ago, and I forgot the password already. So I couldn't get on there. So I figured, let me just give you guys a call.
Oh, I'm glad. You know, I was thinking of you tonight because I was setting up a guest for next Tuesday, and I think only a few people would actually know what this guy looked like, the guest. I'll give you a hint, James. I've already told Jim this, but let me give it to you.
You got it.
He wasn't a player, but he was always around the Rangers, I guess like from the 80 to like 89 period.
Okay.
You'd always see him on the bench. He had an Italian name. He actually went from being like travel manager to actually doing our draft in the 89 draft. Do you know who this is?
You know, it's like in there, and I could actually picture him. I just can't think of the name right now.
Real Italian name.
Real Italian name. I don't know, man. This is kind of difficult.
All right, I'll say Joey Pacino.
Joey Pacino, okay. I remember always hearing that name. That's the one.
Yeah, Joey Pacino, who kind of lived the Ranger dream. He started off really low on the totem pole, and he rose to actually, after Esposito got fired, to doing our draft.
That's right.
And I talked to Joey for a little bit. He's a great guy and fantastic man, and he said this is quote. He says, you know, I did that 89 draft for them, and those players I drafted lasted longer in the NHL than any Ranger draft ever. And those sons of bitches fired me. I can't blame him
for being pissed, man.
Yeah, right?
He's absolutely right.
You know what? I thought about it because he's Italian through and through, and I felt like I was talking to one of my relatives. It was great.
See, that's it. I got my father's side of the family who was not Italian. I never knew them. My father was a foster kid, so we were brought up on the Italian side, and my last name is Smith, so figure that one out. So So, you know, everybody looks at me and stuff. They're looking at me, like, down here. They're like, are you in the witness protection program? And I'm like, no. I don't think so. You know, but when I mention people, when you just mentioned Joey Pacino, I knew a guy named Joe Benucci. So, you know, it was kind of close. You know, I'm thinking, I remember it had something to do near his name, but I could not remember it for anything.
Yeah, I think you, like, you always saw, like, Pacino, I think, actually when, I don't know, I just always remember him on the bench and they're saying, there's Joey Pacino, he was always in the runway.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he, you know, he was just always there, and I think he's got a lot of stories to tell.
And you're going to have him on then, right?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And he's the kind of guy that is just going to tell things as it is and not sugarcoat anything. I could tell that right away when he said, sons of bitches, that he was, like, ready. He was ready to vent. So I was thinking about, you know, you shoot from the cuff and you say it as it is, and, you know, and I was thinking about you, and I figured during the videos you had seen him.
I definitely have, and I do remember, you know, that you just popped it out of my head now, you know. So that, I mean, he should have some great inside stories that nobody wanted to let out, I would imagine, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, being around the team for so many years and seeing players come and go and seeing coaches come and go, and, you know, he probably has a lot of good stuff that he's going to be able to spew out and let us know. I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, last night's show was freaking... It was a free-for-all because we were really having a debate, and I don't want to get back into it because it was a whole hoopla with a John Tortorella. Let me just... I know I always say this, so I'm not going to get into it, but then I wind up going into it. But
why not?
Let me just get your quick take on this, because you weren't around last night. You're a frequent caller, a frequent Ranger Blue Shirt Banner radio caller, and do you think the way Tortorella handled Michael Delzato way back when he chewed him out for that 4 minutes, was the proper thing to do?
You know, I would say yes, only because he's a real young guy. He's 19 years old, and, you know, from hearing things, you know, being a hockey fan for years and listening to things, you don't want certain players, young players, to get into bad habits. I guess that's the way they usually put it. And, you know, for him to, you know, to yell at him like that and let him understand that that's a no-no, you know, you got a penalty, it's not going to change anyway. You might as well just shut the hell up and sit down and it'll take you 2 minutes. And I think maybe that's something that he'll never do again. Usually most people should learn by a mistake, and hopefully that's something he'll never do again. I mean, unless he's wearing an A or wearing a C and he just, you know, stands up for one of his teammates, then it's fine. But for when it happens to him being 19, maybe it's best that he kept his mouth shut and just do what he has to do. So maybe what Torts did was the right thing. In my opinion, I mean, I could be wrong, but in my opinion, I think it was good because he's a very young player and he's still learning the game and he's still learning a lot of things about the team and hockey and being a defenseman and learning systems, you know, and whatever, you know. And I think it was okay for him to do that. I think it was okay. I mean, it could have went either way. I mean, if he didn't say anything, maybe he could have did it privately and not kind of like yell at him and you know, with everyone around. But maybe in a way it's a good thing because maybe his teammates would have came up and said something to him. So I would say yes if I had to pick a yes or a no.
Okay. Well, we just wanted your take on it because everybody was going on. And Jim, if you want to, whenever you want to bring on the guest, let me know. I have a question. I want to ask James first.
Oh, what was the consensus last night? Was it mostly yes that he did the right thing, or was it mostly he shouldn't have done it?
It was kind of mixed. It really was kind of mixed. But
it was mixed.
It was down the middle.
Down the middle, but everybody was passionate either way. It was, you know, so, but that's all I want to say on it, because it really got to be like we were beating a dead horse with that.
Well, you know what? I mean, since Delzato is, you know, is looking to be a good player, I mean, I could see you beating a dead horse for a while because, you know, he's a young guy and you're hoping that he doesn't get into bad habits. And maybe this is something that you know, was immediately corrected. And if that's the case, then great. You know, I mean, you want to see the guy progress and do the right things. And, you know, if he had a... You know, and Torts has a short fuse. So, you know, I'm the same type of player that I might used to play. Or if I was a coach, I'd probably do the same thing. Maybe with a young guy, I might have took him aside and said it. But I think all in all, the message had to get through anyway.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to switch to a more innocuous, boy, there's a big college word, innocuous topic. And I just wanted to let the people in the chat room, and I'll go with you, James, of course, because you're with us, and just with this really kind of like question, who was the first player you ever got a jersey of?
Steve Vickers.
Steve Vickers, wow.
Steve Vickers, number 8.
Now what?
I got my number 8 Steve Vickers jersey and wore it every day. And I'm going to even admit something else to you guys, which I hate to admit. I mean, I hate the Flyers, and I hate them all with a passion, but my friend had a number 16 Pavlich jersey, and I ended up finding a Flyer jersey at a flea market for like $2. So I bought it. I didn't know what I was going to do with it, and he took his number 16 off. So I was like, you know, I always loved the way Bobby Clark played. I loved the way he played the game. So I stitched the number 16 on that Flyer jersey. But I hated him. I hated the whole team, but the way the man played, I respected. So, but my first Ranger jersey was a Steve Vickers, yes.
Wow, Marky Braverman, just Harry Powell with his first.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, you mentioned Bobby Clark, and I kept meaning to tell you this, Eddie, and since you brought it up, I'll mention it now. Jay Moran sent me a couple of emails after he was on with Emil Francis a couple weeks ago, and he brought it to my that Emil passed up. We're going to have to ask him about this the next time he's on the show, that he passed up on drafting Bobby Clark, as did a lot of teams, because they were worried about his diabetes. Did you know that?
I knew he had diabetes because at Madison, my son is diabetic. He's 18. He's diabetic, insulin dependent, and when he got into a bad time, we found out when he was 12 years old. So when we found that out, I actually tried to do some research on things of who had diabetes and what they did, and to give him a little motivation, I would tell him, look at this guy. I said he was a hockey player, blah blah blah. Showed him some old film. I said just think he had to be out there playing the game and had to watch his blood sugar level during the game and between periods and everything. I said so as bad as it is for you, you got to look up to these people who accomplish things and you could do the same thing and so now he's going to be starting college soon. So but I didn't know, but I found out only a few years ago that Clark had diabetes.
Wow.
Yeah, so according to Jay Moran, that was why Emil and I guess some other GMs passed up on drafting him.
Yeah, if you look at the chat room, I'm seeing Jay the Dead's got a gray blue Ranger jersey, a Van Beesbrook Panthers jersey. He says he has tons of jerseys. And then Paulie D's got Ron Duguay, number 10.
To match Paulie's hair.
Yeah, Paulie must have had the do back in the day, the hockey hair. Well, I'll tell you. Duguay, we've said it before. He held his own. He was a tough man.
Yeah.
He might have looked good and had the little bit of a pretty boy, but he could mix it up with the best of them.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ed. Yeah, I was gonna say, in collecting those old tapes, you get to see that. I mean, there were times. I remember Glenn Cochran used to pick on Duguay continuously, and Duguay flattened him one night. He couldn't take no more, and he just pounded the crap out of him and was on top of him, beating. You know what I mean? And he did, like you said, he held his own. He did what he had to do. And at that time, you don't realize Duguay's 6'2". At that time, 6'2" was a pretty big guy. Now it's about average.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of guys, you get the big guys at 4'6", 5". But for 6'2", back in the early 80s, was a pretty big guy. And Duguay didn't take no crap. And you see things happening to other players and stuff like that. Duguay was there. I mean, a lot of that team was a team. And they were together for a while, those early 80 guys. And Duguay held his own, just like you said.
And Ronnie is a guy, if you talk to him now, he thinks he's still going to play in the NHL. And I got to tell you, he's in such great shape. He said it. He said, I can play 4 minutes a night. Put me out there.
Right.
I mean, and he's 50-odd years old, but he was a gamer back in the day. He would, so I can understand Duguay for sure. I'm looking at some of the other answers. Marcy Braverman had a Harry Howell, which
wow.
I think is great. I love those vintage jerseys.
Oh, those are great.
Harry Howell was great. I mean, he really was a Norris Trophy winner. He's up there in the rafters. It surely was one of the better Ranger defensemen. We've discussed it with Emil as well. And
he should have had his number retired a long time ago.
That's right.
Same thing Emil said.
Yeah, same thing goes for Bethgate. Those guys should have had it done long ago and glad that they were alive to see it. I mean, thank God for that.
Yeah, and then we have somebody else has another jersey there. Rattel, Jay and Dennis, a Rattel jersey. That's nice.
Oh, yeah.
What color is that Rattel jersey, Jay? I don't know. No, speaking about jerseys, didn't you guys love when the Rangers used to have the Rangers? I mean, New York, rather?
Yes.
At home, it would say New York. Was it on the home or on the road?
It was on the road because they wore the blue and it had New York. Yeah.
Right. Didn't you like the New York better?
When it was the road jersey, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not now.
Right.
I told this story when you had Carpinello on your show that one time about when they wore those jerseys on 9/11 or the first game after after 9/11. They wore those jerseys, and then Buffalo came out with identical jerseys in their colors.
Right.
I remember that was cool. That was a good story, Jim. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, I had also. That's a good point made. I mean, yeah, I remember that too. And it was a surprise because I didn't know about it. I remember turning it on and seeing it and like, whoa, they did the same thing. But I love those old New York jerseys. I mean, being from New York, I mean, you know, you want to put that, you know, that New York on that jersey. I mean, especially when you travel to another place. I mean, I thought it would look great when you're going anywhere and you have that New York on your chest there, you know. But I mean, now it would be different because the white jersey. I mean, you know, now that's the road jersey, which I hate because whenever you go to a game, you're always going to see, the Rangers are going to be in blue and the other team is going to be. The Rangers are going to be in blue and the other team's always going to be in white. You're not going to see too many colors. So I think they should change it back.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think it was Paul Idea brought that up. The home team should be white. The opposing team should be their colors, darker colors.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't it great to see Chicago come in that red, you know, that great jersey that had all the colors with the feathers with green and yellow on them and orange, whatever, and you get to see that, especially when you're sitting close up and you get to see everybody's colors. Now you're always going to see a white jersey with a blue, and to me it's, you know, it's kind of dull. I loved looking at the other team's jerseys and the colors getting close up during practice and stuff like that.
See, I when they first changed and started wearing the blues at home, I was kind of I wasn't crazy about it. Now that I've gotten used to it, I like it better. I think it's more old school.
Right.
You know, back in the 40s and 50s or 30s when they didn't even have a white jersey yet. I kind of like the blue at home, and you know they are the Broadway blue shirts.
Yeah, I have to give you that. Yeah, you're right.
You got a point there.
Jim is right.
And the Liberty jerseys. I like the blue, but I don't like the white.
Yeah, they did away with the white now, right? They don't even wear that white anymore.
They did away with both of them. White better than the blue. I actually own both jerseys, but I like the white better than the blue. I just thought the white was classy looking.
Yeah, I like
the blue's
white,
nice too.
Yeah.
The only bad part is when I think of those Liberty jerseys, I just think of how bad they were when they wore them.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't a good period there.
Yeah, that wasn't a good period of time.
That was terrible.
That was my first innocuous question of the night. Because I want it to be a fun broadcast tonight. I don't see any Mandar around tonight causing trouble as usual. But
that's why Marcy's here. I think Marcy poked her head in, saw it was safe, and decided to stay.
Well, Mandar is just one of the characters we have in here, and Paulie D is all revved up, and he's a senior character here, and he looks to be, well, you might want to have some questions for some of our guests tonight. We'll see how that goes. City Hockey, Fever, Big Boy Brick, I'm just going down. Schmeeds, too. I can guess who that is. And
that's Junior.
Yeah, wow. I'll tell you, Junior did a great job on that logo. And
he's a fantastic artist.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. That's something I could never master. I was just not good with the hands when it came to drawing, ladies and gentlemen. Me.
Oh, I'll tell you, I don't know where he gets it from. He sure as hell didn't get it from me. I can't draw stick figures that look good.
I mean,
I'm the same way.
I was born with the gift of gab, hence the name, the mouth. Andy the Mouth Guy, talking with James and my co-host, Jim Schmiederberg. Hey, listen, we're all co-hosts. Let's face it, we do this show with everybody. You know, speaking. Jim, how many people did you have on the line last night when we were talking? Like nine.
I think we got around seven or eight at one point. It was lively, and you know, it was pretty controlled. And we didn't even have Mandar there. He didn't even call in last night.
Oh,
And I have to say, man, he always comes up with some point out of the blue, and it's always a pretty good point. I have to admit that. I mean,
yeah.
He always comes up with something different, and you know that's what I love about listening and calling in and getting all these opinions, and you see, you know, you hear get to everyone's view of what happened, and he always has something different. That's why I love waiting for his answer.
Yeah, it's the same. That's the thing that I get most out of this is, so I don't have the answers. When people say, you know, what do you think? Like, you know, they think I'm the guy who's going to give them the conclusive answer. I'm here so I can hear everybody else's opinions and then try to make a decision after I hear everybody's input. And sometimes I think about it after the show. Sometimes I just, in the heat of the moment, I can't think about it. And then later on, I go, you know, he made a good point. And then I steal it, and then I post it on my website. That's how it works, you know, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's how it goes.
That's great. Sometimes it comes quick, you know. It's like when you're going back and forth. When we're talking about the Dubinsky thing, and who was it that's for Dubinsky and he's going to be a superstar? Who was it?
Paulie D,
yeah. And then he asked me a question, well, have you ever seen him play the power play? And then I was like, yeah, I mean, I've seen him at the tail end. Yeah, but you never see him start the power play. Well, he has to earn that, you know, and that just came right out because, you know, and I was like, he has to earn that thing, doesn't he? I mean, they're not just going to give it to him. And right away, he kind of like, yeah, well, you know, it kind of just from deep within, you know, you just know your team and you know what it's about. And no way did I even think I was going to say that. It just, boom, come right out. And I'm sure it happens to everybody. All of a sudden, something just clicks in your head, and you kind of know the answer, you know. And everybody has that moment, you know. Like, you find, all right,
yeah.
I think I made a good point there. And that's what's so great about this, because everybody does come up with great points for everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's got, everybody that calls in, and this goes for everybody, you know, they've got great opinions, and you know, whether we agree or disagree, you know, when the show ends, we're all, you know, we're all still friends, and we, you know, it's fun to hear the reasons that everybody gives. You know, like Paulie with Dubinsky, he loves Dubinsky, he thinks Dubinsky's going to be a superstar, and he's got his reasons, and you know, I understand them, I just don't agree with them, but Paulie understands that, and Paulie certainly doesn't agree with everything Eddie and I say, and you may not agree with, but that's why we love doing this. I mean, like Eddie says, we're not experts, we're just trying to give everybody a... Give Rodney a chance, as Jackie used to say.
Yeah, and it's great. Yeah, Paulie, I mean, I always tell him, I hope you're right, man. I hope you prove us all of us wrong. Anybody who says anything about Dubinsky, of course we want to make him, have him, you know, become a 40-goal scorer and a superstar. We all want to see that. And hope to God maybe next year something like that happens. Like I'm with you, Jim. I don't see it, but maybe he sees something that we don't. And I hope he's right. I hope he proves us all
right.
Wrong.
I mean, listen.
Well, if it's going to happen in Edmonton because the Rangers just traded him.
Are you
serious? Kidding.
Oh, man. Wait a second. It's freezing.
Oh,
it
just scared the crap out of me.
First thing I said was, wait a second. Then I thought it was the freeze. Wait, you can't do it.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, Paul would have went nuts, huh?
Oh. I'm going to get you that one.
Well, I thought you were going to say they're going to announce it after the Olympics.
I was saying it. I didn't think about the roster freeze and the whole thing, and I was already about to click the website to see what was going.
Give it up. That's it. I'm done with these Rangers. That's it. I'm done.
But, you know,
I'm going to go eat some more
ice
cream.
It's not been traded. I was just kidding. It was just kidding.
Jim would go on McDonald's binge. Eddie would go eat the ice cream. I'm with you, Eddie. I'm the ice cream guy, you know.
I love that ice cream.
I
via that vanilla soft serve. That's how I want to go. Just put one of those vanilla soft serve machines underneath my mouth and just, that's all.
Anyway, well, laying in the casket, you need a Carvel soft machine and just let it go on top of them, man. That's it.
I ain't hit the lottery.
I like the vanilla soft serve, but I'm not a Carvel guy. Never like Carvel.
I come down here in Florida, there's no Carvel. They closed up. For the second Carvel, I've been down here like 15 years. The second one closed up. I don't know why. I mean, people are there. I don't understand it.
We got to talk about Carvel. I'm getting hungry all over again.
Well, you're glad you got Carvel. I don't have it.
All right.
Here's my
all right, let's take another call. We got somebody on. Let's see if whoever this is here. All right. I don't know if you're a Skype caller, but you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Paul.
It's me. It's Paul.
How are you?
How's
it going, Paul?
Welcome to the program.
Actually, I got computer trouble tonight, and I'm actually just trying to listen to the show over the phone. I wasn't looking to call in, but I guess it's showing I'm on the line. So
yeah, I can put you back on hold, Paul. That's fine.
Paul, I want to ask Paul a question.
Oh, well, right ahead.
Well, the question we were asking everybody before in the chat room and everything, who was the first player you got a jersey of?
Hardy.
Now, I know you were. Go ahead.
No, Gilles Gratton, number 33, with the werewolf mask.
Nice.
That was great.
No, seriously, I had a Phil Esposito dirty.
The 77?
77 in the 70s, yeah.
Wow.
And for some reason after that, I had other jerseys, but I was, like, undecided about numbers. And, you know, I never put numbers on them. I still have them. But I have, you know, over the years, I have Leach, and I have, of course, Messier mouth. You saw me with that on last week.
Tell them the Cotsy story with you and the Messier jersey.
Oh, I show up a few weeks ago before the game. Chris was in New York, and I walk in to meet him through a mutual friend. It was the first time I actually had met him in person. And as I walk in, he introduces me. He's like, "Hey, Chris, this is Paul." He goes, "Hey, Paul, great to meet you finally." As I'm taking my jacket off, he sees the C on my jersey, and he says, "Wait a minute. Don't tell me." And as he pulls my jacket off, he goes, "Oh, thank God. I was wearing a Messier jersey. He thought I was wearing a Chris Drury jersey." And Chris just drives Kotze crazy for some reason. And thank God I didn't have the Drury jersey.
Oh, man, yeah.
But Chris panicked for a minute, but it was, you know, the white Messier jersey that I wear to the games, most games.
See, I mean, you can't go wrong. You had me going. I got caught twice. I really thought that Paul had a Gratton jersey, and I really thought that Vinci got traded. You guys got me twice already tonight.
Yeah, me too, man.
I mean, Gilles Gratton, I've actually tried to contact Gilles. He has not returned my phone call.
Now, Mal, let me ask you, is he somewhere where you know, or?
Yeah, he's up in Canada now.
Okay.
And somewhere in Quebec, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, when they had the Jacques Plante anniversary of the mask, I think the special that ran on NHL Network or one of the programs, they showed a brief clip of him now. So he is alive and still with us, and I'd love to talk to that guy because if you fans don't know the story of Gilles Gratton, he was a wackadoo, I mean, of extraordinary magnitude. He's known for the famous lion mask. It's at the Hockey Hall of Fame. He would actually growl at the players when he wore it. I went to a game where he actually changed masks between periods. He went from the birdcage, which he was one of the first guys to wear a birdcage, which basically was a hockey helmet with a cage on it in the front. And then he thought he was reincarnated from an old Roman soldier and would miss games claiming he had been stabbed in the thigh and that the injury would in his previous life. I mean, the guy he used to walk around naked in the arena during practices. I mean, he was just a wacko. And
what's funny is that at the same time, He was kind of a, I don't know if you want to say genius, but if you read the book, which I can't think of the name of now, we had the guys on the show about the goalie mask. He was saving face. He was instrumental in the design of some of the masks that the players wore in the 70s.
Yeah.
He was very involved in that. So it's kind of, you know, it's a interesting dynamic with him.
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy who, you know, at the time, he really was a journeyman. He didn't play many games in the NHL. I think he may have played with one other team other than the Rangers, and that was it. But he really is a link in the chain of the evolution of the goalie mask. Here's a guy who was a total fruitcake, and that's why I wanted to kind of talk to him, you know. So,
yeah, definitely. That would be a nice interview, huh?
Yeah, but so far. No word on it. So we'll see if we can get him. So, Paulie, continue listening. I'm sorry about the internet problems. I wish I could help you there.
We've had a bad week here between the computer and my dryer broke the other day. So my wife is and, you know, it's just not a good week in the head. It's going to be an expensive week, I think, by the time it ends. So with buying, once we find the computer problem out tomorrow, which I can troubleshoot some more, and with the dryer that I'm going to have to buy for my wife, it's going to take some of my money out of when I go to the game, some of my beer money. I'm going to be a little short. So maybe you'll come to a game, Mouth, and you can take that big bowl of money out of your pocket and spring for a couple
of years. You know me. I got that money, especially when it's 25% off all beverages during a blizzard. That's what I know.
Don't worry, Paul. He's got the blue shirt banner expense account when he goes to the games. Money is no object.
I want one of those.
Don't say that too loud around the garden. There's a lot of spies around there, believe it or not.
Okay, my friend. So hang on and listen to this informative show.
Okay, guys.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one.
I'll put you back on hold. All right. Well, Eddie, what was your first jersey?
Fatigue.
Nice.
I wore Fatigue.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, that was it for me. I mean, I think if I was a little bit older, I would have. I mean, I guess younger. No, older. I would have gone for Jacquemin because of the whole Eddie thing, and then later with Johnstone. But I just love Fatigue, and I don't know. He would come out and he would wait the whole game for Nicky, and then he would come out and he would run some guy into the boards the last minute of the game. You hit the elbow and you knew the penalty was coming. You wouldn't see the elbow. You'd hear it in the back ice. All you hear was boom, and you know Fatigue's going. But I just loved it. He threw the pucks up into the crowd for the fans. And
yeah,
he was
I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, he'd hit the blue section too.
Yeah,
throw it up into the blues. I mean, every time he would go all around, and I couldn't believe when I seen him throw away up there. I was like, man, it's pretty damn good.
And you know, he's from New York. You know, he was a hometown guy. I mean, you know, like you could be that. You know, and
exactly.
You know, I think a lot of us thought we were going to be that.
And when Nicky took the puck in his own zone and rushed up ice, all you heard was that crowd getting louder and louder, waiting for him to, you know, hoping that he'd score, you know. We all had that anticipation, maybe he's going to do it. And when he did, there was no louder cheer than Nicky.
Yeah. So that's why I just loved it. And anything. And you stuck up for teammates, you know. Something we don't see too much of anymore. So now I wanted to... Before we get into any guests, Jim, just stop me anytime if you want. But here's a question, and, you know, D.B. Maven's been criticizing my bits and my questions lately. But this is a question I like to throw out. If you started the franchise, the Ranger franchise, from scratch, and you are the GM, it's 2010, wouldn't Hank or Lundqvist be your first choice as goalie, or would you go with somebody else? Because right now, if I was the GM, if I had to pick a goalie for my franchise, this is starting over from scratch. This is like everybody's available. I'm going with Lundqvist because I know he can play under severe pressure if you can't fill out the rest of the team. What do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, James.
I think it's a good choice. I mean, who really is better than him out there? I mean, especially when you see a range of defense that doesn't even play a great defense. And you see him coming up with shutouts and one-goal games. Even though he's losing one-goal games, 2-1, 1-0, I mean, to me, there's really, I mean, nobody better. There may be a couple of equals or very close to, but I don't think there's anybody better than him out there. And if you're talking age, too, I mean, he's a young guy.
Yeah,
I mean, Marty's an old guy now. I mean, maybe Marty in his prime or when he's younger, maybe people would pick him, but not now, I mean, at this age. But you're saying, like you said, right now at this time, Hank would be as good as anybody.
Jim, I mean, I know we see a lot of them, and we're biased. Let's face it. I mean, you know, we're not saying, you know, Mick Kiprasov maybe or, you know, I know Ranger fans. I mean, maybe I'm taking it for granted. Ranger fans don't know what else is going on in the West and stuff. There's a lot of good goalies in this league, but I just think after seeing him with subpar teams, that no matter what, he's going to win games for you for the most part. He can win games by himself. Jim, what do you think?
If I was starting an expansion team from scratch with nothing, let me put it, if I'm picking Lundqvist, am I taking him with his current salary? Like, are you giving me $55 million and every player I take, I'm fitting them in with that salary?
I
would say he would probably be one of my first picks. I'm a firm believer. You know, you build from the goal on out, and then you build defense, then you build the offense, because I just think that's the way you build. So, yeah, despite his salary, which can handcuff you a little bit as you move up, through the positions. Like you say, he's a goaltender that's capable of, he can win you 1-0 or 2-1 games if you're scrapping on offense. So, yeah, he would probably be my first pick. There's a couple others that I think there'd be a couple of picks that you couldn't go wrong with. But, yeah, he would be, certainly one of my first considerations.
Now, a lot of people, we have this argument with Lundqvist, as far as the money goes. Not that we have this argument, but there's a certain sector out there that feels, and they are in the minority, that the Rangers would be better served with, like, say, let me give you, I'm going to just throw a name out there. Say we got Craig Anderson from the Avalanche, right? He's going to be our goalie. We're going to save $5 million in cap room or $4 million in cap room, whatever. Craig Anderson, I don't think he's making too much money. And, say we throw Dwayne Rolison as his backup. Do you think the Rangers would be better served to be able to have, that extra $3-4 million for another forward? Or do you think that we really need Hank in there? I mean, he's well worth it. He does get paid a lot of money, guys. I mean, he deserves it, I think. And I think it's a minority opinion if you say no, but I want to know, maybe some people think that.
I'd have to keep him. Give him the money. I, like we were saying, I don't think there's anybody, who could play, play in a game with a defense, like you say, a subpar defense, a subpar team as the Rangers are, and still only give up a goal or two, maybe three a game on average, I mean, the guy is phenomenal, and I would go with Hank, man. I mean, he won a gold medal. I mean, he might be a guy that could go all the way. Just like Richter did for us. I think he's that type of player that can do it.
Yeah, I don't think I just throwing it out there because we have heard that before. I mean, albeit from some people that are mentally unstable, but still we've heard that take that, teams survive without Henrik Lundqvist all the time and make the playoffs.
But they don't win the cup. That's the thing, right? I mean, goalies, right? You have that hot goalie to win the cup. I mean, and there may be one or two out there that can do that, but I still go with Hank. I mean, he proves it all year long. But I think he does need his rest, too. I mean, the guy plays a lot. And, I was hoping that they'd give him more rest, before the Olympics here, and they really didn't do that. So I'm hoping that he doesn't come back kind of flat.
Yeah, and we in the beginning of the season we were talking, James, you were there, too. We were saying, we were going, how many games does Henrik need to rest in order for him to be effective and for the Rangers to address the situation?
Right, I remember that.
And some of us were saying 10. The minority was like 10. Then people were like 15. I was like 20 or more, 20. We're not even going to come close with that. I mean, it's really, they really have. I mean, you have a whole year to address the situation. Even before that, they had an off season to address the situation.
And we started out great, right? We started out great where maybe it could have gave him a little bit of rest in the beginning and see what the time we had Valley as a backup, right? Valley as a backup and see what he could do. But they really didn't do it. I think I guess Torts kind of mishandled that. I guess the whole organization did, because, I mean, if I'm, running the organization, I'm going to say, this is Olympic year, guys. You know, you guys are going to have to step it up. Backup's going to have to step it up, because this guy's going to need some rest, because he's going to play every game for Sweden. So, you guys better, get on your high horse there and do what you have to do, because this guy's going to need some rest. And any goalie, I mean, who's going to go through this. The only one good thing that I just thought of right now just hit me is that at least it's in Canada. They don't have to go halfway around the world with the travel and stuff, so that's going to help a little bit. But still, the guy needed some rest.
Yes.
It definitely does. And I want to comment on something, Eddie, that you said, and then, James, something that you said. And Eddie, the thing that sucks is that if the Rangers didn't have those other three albatross contracts, you wouldn't even have to pose the question about Lundqvist.
Right.
Absolutely.
As far as where would that money be better off spent? You know what I mean? If it wasn't for those other three contracts, any one of those contracts could be divided up for two or three other players.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
But because none of the three of them have any real value, you have to pose that question about Lundqvist. And,
right.
You asked this question on your show early in the season or before the season started. And my answer then is the same as it is now. No, he's an elite goaltender and should be paid as such. And he's one of the few goaltenders in the league that can really, be he can carry a team. He carried the Rangers through from mid-December to mid-January. I think he played the best hockey that we've ever seen him play. And I mean, and that's really saying something. I mean, he carried them through that month, a month that we thought was going to be really tough for them, and they survived it pretty well, mostly because of Henrik Lundqvist. And James, to support your point that you talked about winning the cup, teams win the cup without a Henrik Lundqvist, but every team that has that wins a Stanley Cup, at some point in that run, the goaltender becomes the story.
Exactly.
No matter who it is, whether it was, of course, Hasek, had the way he played in the finals a few times, and of course, Brodeur, and you go back to Richter and Patrick Roy. At some point, the goaltender becomes the story. I mean, look at Fleury last year.
Exactly.
The way he played.
And goalies are the guys that will steal you that, right? A goalie is probably the only player on that ice that could actually steal that game for you.
We've seen, if you're a Ranger fan over the age of, 35, and I hate to go this far back, but, it is, we did see it in our history. You saw what a hot goaltender can do for a pretty average hockey team when the Rangers had that run in 1985. They got to the semifinals against Montreal. That was, I would say, that was 75% at least because of Van Beesbrouck. I mean, he was outstanding for most of the playoffs.
And it also goes for the Canadian team that won it in 85.
Right.
Was
absolutely
a known quantity who played crazy in the playoffs and on a team that wasn't all that great.
And I seem to maybe you guys can either back me up or not back me up, either way, but when Van Beesbrouck was with the Panthers and they went to the finals, he was pretty much the story then too. I don't remember that Panther team being anything great, but I think it was just same thing, a case of he got hot and played well and carried him. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe I don't remember it as well as I think I do, but
I tend to remember a little, just like you. I mean, it's going back a little bit, and, that team doesn't, like you say, nobody really stands out, but Van Beesbrouck does, and he did take him to the finals, just like the way JD did in 79, and he was phenomenal, too, until, unfortunately, Ken Dryden came back and took care of us, right? Another hot goalie. It took Larocque to get hurt in practice to get Dryden back in there, and they were going to sit him out. I kind of think that was, they got lucky. They ended up winning that way. But the Canadians were a Hall of Fame team back then. I mean, you said, guys are on there. But still,
and I mean,
up until
look at the look at the playoffs, the Rangers and Capitals last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of people suggested this, and you know, I happen to agree with it. If you flip flop those two goaltenders, you Lundqvist and either Varlamov or Theodore, whatever his name is, the Rangers are out in four games.
Exactly.
Maybe they get one. But I mean, you flip flop the. I mean, he was the difference. He was the only reason why the Rangers.
So we're not in that series at all. We don't have Hank in that series. We don't win three games at all. We don't even come close.
So I mean, you know, that was just a small. You know, it was only one series. It was seven games, but that's just a small. A small display of what a hot goaltender can do for you. Hey, James, you want to hang on for a minute? I got Nick calling in from
Absolutely.
Vancouver with
sure.
our,
you guys
with our Olympic.
Do?
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Nick is calling in from Vancouver. Nick, what's going on?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Sweden up 2-0 after two periods, actually.
After two periods, who's got the goals for Sweden?
Mattias Olin on the power play and Louis Eriksson of the Dallas Stars.
Oh, I love Louis Eriksson. He's one
Very
of my
nice.
Sleep about.
And we've been talking about Lundqvist for the last 20 minutes or so. How many saves does he have?
He has not faced a lot. He was beat twice, but luckily got hit the post. In this arena, for some reason, they don't have the official shot clock up, but I would say he probably has around maybe 9 saves, not even. He hasn't faced much. It's been an easy night for him so far.
They play in a neutral zone trap in front of him? 9 shots? He gets that in 5 minutes at the Garden.
I know.
Exactly. That's what I was saying when I was watching the game. He's not going to want to go back to the Rangers after having this defense in front of him.
We're talking about how much rest does Lundqvist need. It sounds like he's getting it. He went to the Olympics.
Yeah. That's true.
Definitely.
He's getting all the rest he needs.
Yeah, like a group of Ranger fans that just walked by. Interesting.
Nice.
I wanted to ask you, was there a look of shock when Hank took off his goalie mask that his team actually had 2 goals in the first period? He doesn't get much help with the Rangers all most nights in the first period. Was any shock on Hank's face?
What was that? I can't hear you, sorry.
I said, have you had any Carvel today?
Eddie wanted to know if Lundqvist was shocked that he actually had his team score 2 goals for him in the first period.
I don't know. He looked very calm out there. Actually, he's a focused goalie and nothing really distracts him at all. So he's looked focused out there. Looks like
of course he's calm. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to look at the back at number
yeah.
6 or number 33
yeah,
or number 5.
He doesn't see Randy Roosevelt in front of him. Exactly.
I'd be calm too.
Very calm. What kind of attendance is it? The game? Is it attended well? And what's the diversity of fans, so to speak? A lot of Swedish people there.
At this game, it's probably half and half. There's a lot of Germany fans. I didn't expect that. And a lot of Sweden fans were all wearing Sedin jerseys, obviously, because that's the home team. But I went to Russia last night, and half the crowd was actually Latvia fans. And there were actually people there. It was amazing.
Wow. So,
wow.
They had chants, Latvia chants going through the crowd and everything. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Nice.
Did they hurl anything at Ovechkin or Malkin or any of those guys?
Ovechkin did get called for a penalty early on and then went on to score 2 goals. Malkin had a goal. That team is probably the best puck movers from what I've seen so far. They really zip it around their own zone.
How'd their defense look? But that seems to be the question.
Well, they did play Latvia, so pretty good. But at the I'd like to see them play, you know, like a team like Switzerland, who skates very fast, or even the Canada. Canada-Russia would be actually a very good game. I'd love to see that one.
I'd like to see.
Nick, did you get a chance to walk around Olympic Village today? What was that like? What was the atmosphere?
I did. I went around to the the torch, the flame. That was pretty cool. And a lot of hockey fans. I had the Monk with Sweden shirt on today. A lot of fans coming up to me. Actually had one Ranger fan pull us over. Or he said he's from Canada, but he loves the Rangers. Actually, the waiter in a restaurant came up to me and said, "You must be from New York wearing a Lundqvist shirt up here." He was a Senators fan. And he said he's come to a game before in New York, but he went to the Coliseum, not the Garden. I couldn't figure that one out.
That's not New York.
He must have got free tickets. Now, let me ask you a question. I saw another Ranger fan on Facebook that's up at the Olympics and said that as a Ranger fan, he's still sensing hostility over 1994. Have you gotten any of that from Vancouver people?
I have not. Yeah, I had a Rangers shirt on yesterday, and I just had one guy come up to me and tell me I was a dedicated fan. I haven't heard anything about 1994 yet, though.
But we're getting sympathy, Jim.
Exactly.
I love it.
And, well, and even like the
Nick,
local.
Nick, what we want you to do is we want you to go like to downtown Vancouver or any place where there's a lot of Vancouver people and just yell things like "Saved by Richter" or "Lafayette hits the post" or
"Richter has been thrown out of the game."
Yeah. I will too. Definitely give it a buzz. But even the local sports stores are like all hockey here, and they all had Ranger jerseys. Like even, I don't know if you remember the white Liberty jerseys that Gretzky used to wear when he was on the team.
Of course.
They were selling, what's that?
Yeah, I remember. We were just talking about them a little while ago.
Yeah, they were selling those in the stores. All the local teams, except, of course, I didn't see any Islander stuff. But
you got to go to Hempstead for that.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to any other events or just the hockey games?
I am going to men's, I don't know, some kind of men's figure skate. It's like freestyle, though. It's not like men and women and that fairy stuff. It's kind of like they do it to upbeat music. But I'm going to that tomorrow, I think, after the USA game. But tomorrow I'm going to the USA game.
All right. Well, very good. All
stay
right,
away
we'll
from that fairy
to the
stuff.
Yeah. All right, Nick, we'll let you get back to the game. Thanks for checking
right,
in, and we'll look forward to your next story on Blue Shirt Banner.
Yep, I'll have that up tomorrow for you.
All right, sounds good. Have fun, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys. Go Sweden.
Take it easy.
Bye.
All right, that was our man Nick. Sounds like he's having a good time up there, man. I am so jealous.
I am. He's going
all
these
games. I'll
tell you what.
The Winter Olympics ever come to Phoenix, I'm there.
It'll be cold day in Phoenix when
I'm still there.
Seriously.
So I would love to see Nick just like find a Vancouver hangout and just go running in there and yell those things, like here comes Bure, saved by Richter, Lafayette hit the post.
I would do it if we had, like, this chat room all together in there, man. I don't want to get beat up, but, Bure has been thrown out of the game for elbowing high-sticking Jay Wells.
or what's the, what's that one line Gary thought? Martin Gelina, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
I remember that from the highlight, and he took a penalty. I forget which game it was now. I'd have to go back and watch my highlight tape or DVD. But Martin Gelina, what are you thinking?
You're wearing the 94 hat, and you go up to a guy and go, "Hey, what time is the Game 7 riot?" something like that. Some wisecracking thing like that. That would be great. But you're right. I'm so jealous because if I had my buds there and we all hanging out and, the alcoholic beverages just going from game to game to game, it's like a never-ending hockey heaven.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Now, can we move on? We got callers. What do we got?
Well, I still got James on hold. Paulie was on hold and hung up. Mike Zippo said he was waiting for Nick to call in and give his report, and then he was going to call in. So Mike should be calling in any minute, and we can talk to him. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692 is the number. And we got about 50 minutes to go. Not doing too bad for not having anything to talk about. We're doing all right.
I came prepared. I got some topics, and then this is my next topic, if I may segue till we take off with our next segment. Has there been a guy that you kind of championed, a Ranger player that you kind of like said, I like this guy, and not an obvious guy. I'm talking about a guy that's on the fringe that it just didn't work out, and you took a lot of flack for liking the guy when you did. A Ranger player that you were really behind, but it turned out real bad.
And it's one of the colossal busts of Ranger history. Well, I don't know about that, but there was a lot of them, but this was one of the worst because of the timing and the trade itself. And the bad one, the real bad one for me, Robitaille.
Oh yeah.
I was such a fan of his before he came to the Rangers. I liked watching him play, and I just thought when he came to the Rangers, I was so excited. I had a Robitaille jersey, Rangers jersey.
Whoa! You didn't talk about that before, Jimmy, my boy.
Well, he wasn't my first jersey, but that's he is one that I had. That I donated a few years back to a family member who is a hockey jersey collector. But I had a Robitaille jersey. And he was a guy that when he came to the Rangers, I was so excited. And I just thought that, he was going to be such a great player for them. And it just didn't work out. Real quick, funny story. I went to a game one night. And I was sitting up in the blue seats. And I see we got Mike on hold. Mike, we'll get to you in 1 minute. Just let me finish this. Sitting up in the blue seats, and we're in a row with a bunch of other guys. I forget who was with me. I think it was a girl I was dating at the time or something. I don't remember. And the guys in the row, you know, they were regular season ticket holders. And the guy says, oh, you know, we always do a first goal pool. Do you want to get in? He said, it's a buck. And, you know, you put in a buck and, you know, whoever scores, if you're right, you get the money. So I said, sure. He gave the guy $2. And, you know, I picked Robitaille. And the guy laughed at me. Right? The guy's laughing his ass off at me. Robitaille hasn't scored in 3 weeks, blah, blah, blah. He scored the first goal of the night, and then he scored again. And the Rangers won the game, right? After he scored the second goal, I took the jersey off, and I held it up above me. We were sitting right under, like, the ceiling. That's how high up we were. And it was like part of the ceiling was right above us. And I hung it up like it was retired, and like it's a joke. And the guy's like, all right, he's got two goals. You're getting out of hand. I'm like, I'm just kidding. I said, I got to enjoy my moment. I spent $100 on this jersey. And I think I won $12 in the first goal pool that night, though, which was probably good enough for two beers back then. So that's Luke Robitaille is the guy. Let's get Mike on the phone, and then we'll get your side of that story. So without further ado, we welcome to Blue Shirt Banter Radio our friend Mike Zippo. Mike is the organizer of the Fire Glenn Sather Rally, which takes place March 7th before the Rangers game at Madison Square Garden. Mike, good evening. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good. Welcome. Glad to have you back on.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. And you gave us a little insight on your latest update last night, but why don't you tell everybody again where you're at right now with the rally?
I was on the phone yesterday, actually, with a detective from the precinct that's right around the garden, and our permits are all in place, but we got moved across the street. So instead of being outside of the borders on the garden side of 7th Avenue, we're going to be across the street, right outside where MSG and Y used to be taped, between 31st and 32nd on 7th Avenue. So we're good to go, and all I have to do is send in a money order to get the permit for using a blowhorn or a microphone or something like that, but that'll be all taken care of early next week.
Now, how much of the permit's going to cost, if you don't mind me asking?
The only permit that costs anything is the one to use a blowhorn or a microphone, and that's $45.
Wow.
Now, you walk through Times Square, you see a lot of guys out there with bullhorns broadcasted all kinds of religious crap. I don't think they've got those $45 permits.
No, I don't think so. I don't think the guys in the subway do either. So, I mean, but I'd rather have it pay the $45 instead of getting a ticket
right.
or something.
Oh, absolutely. All right, so you're gonna be between 31st and 32nd, you said?
Yes, 31st and 32nd on 7th Avenue, right outside of where MSGNY used to be taped. It's on the east side of 7th Avenue.
For those of us that maybe you know don't live near the city and don't get there as much as we used to, mainly like me, what are the landmarks that are there? Is there a store near there? Or, what restaurant are you going to be close to? Just give us a little.
I believe there's a Roy Rogers on the corner.
Fast food. I know where the Roy Rogers is. Okay.
and then right across from that is the main entrance to Penn Station. So if you're coming out of the main entrance to Penn Station, we'll be right across the street.
I know exactly where you guys are going to be. That is the Sabaros is over there. The above
That's
ground
right.
layer.
That's my underground lair. 33rd. Yep.
Yep, and, that's one block north. So.
All right, so... go ahead, Eddie.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so you've got the Facebook event set up.
Right.
As of today, what is your current, as far as attendees go? I know the number you're expecting it to be inflated, but what's your current number at?
Right now, it's at 1,173 confirmed. And another 770 maybes.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's including the people that are going to the game, too. But, you know, they're going to jump in that.
We haven't even taken that into account, you know. So, and also we have a petition set up online that has 721 signatures right now. I'm going to post the link in the chat room. So if anybody that hasn't signed it yet, if they can get a chance to sign that, that would be great.
Yep. Post the link for the petition and the Facebook page, if you would, so that everybody can see it. For those that may not have seen it, make sure you can sign up for it, read what it's all about on Facebook.
And should we bring up the thing you were laughing about in the PM, the personal message before?
Sure.
Well, all right. Well, we have somebody who we know, we love, we respect, who is very against this Ranger rally. I don't know what he's mentioned. Some of it. He hasn't gone into too much detail. And you know, if you're up for it, I'd like to bring him on, and maybe you guys can hash this out. And
he's gone.
What happened? Oh,
he's gone.
Well,
he's gone. Gone from the chat room. Gone from the chat room. Gone from the switchboard.
Okay. Well, if he comes back, perhaps. And I don't know. I guess. I'm gonna say that it's I'll put you know who it is, Paulie D of the Paulie D program,
right?
I don't know, for some reason he doesn't agree with it. I don't know if he thinks there's bigger fish to fry, that perhaps Gary Bettman is really the evil perpetrator. Paulie D's back. See, I told you, he's back in the New York rules.
He heard his name
and he appears. Paulie, if we're talking about the Five Glen Seder rally, if you call in, I'd like to hear a little bit of a little bit of banter about why you are opposed to this, and you and Mike Zippo can hash it out. And hey, listen, I just think this is our position, and this concerns the New York Ranger hockey fan, and whether you like it or you don't like it. I'm interested in this. I mean, and I know Jim is, and this is a topic of discussion, and I find it, this is my take, and honestly, I mean, you know, I'm not going to go in my opinion, because everybody knows, it's coming out of my mouth, it's my opinion. I think it's great, because it's a social networking phenomenon. The Ranger fan has no voice in local media. These old men, these dinosaurs that are in the Rangers organization, they don't go to Facebook and internet websites and realize how hated they are for their ridiculous moves and their buffoon transactions. And this
might be... And their treatment of the fans.
right, this might be a wake-up call. Now, it may be a total, they just turn, they don't, never get to them. But I think it's going to turn out to be a good bonding Ranger fan, good time. That's what I think. And if fun is going to be had, I'm going to be there. So that's what I'm, that's my take on it.
And I agree.
Yeah.
I honestly, I know how Jim Dolan works. He's not going to, we're not going to be able to make him hear us unless we, you know, take money out of his pocket, basically. You know, I don't think he, you know, he's up on this or any, or many of his, you know, his staff are up on this event happening. But, you know, if we get out there, you attract some of the press to come and make this a little bit of a big deal, you know, maybe we'll get heard by these guys and, you know, something can happen. We as fans need to have a voice. And I know that some people have said that, oh, why don't we cancel our season tickets or something like that and do that. But, you know, us, the fans, and a lot of the people that are helping organize this rally with me are such diehard fans that they would never cancel their season tickets. They always want to be at these games. I personally go on road trips every year to go see this team play, and I know the team sucks this year, but I'm going to Toronto in late March. You know, I make a trip every year, and, you know, that's never going to change. But we need to stand up and do something. So
I agree with you. I mean, whatever
– you know,
in any way, I just want to riff on this a little bit more. In any way, how minute that we can just, it's just to vent. I think, you know, we just got so much. I went to the game during that blizzard, and, you know, it wasn't the biggest, you know, it was 13,000 fans there.
Everybody's
still talking about Glenn Sather. I'm talking to a guy. There's a guy, I think he's in the 400s. He's called Statman. He wears the jersey. It says Stats on the back. And this guy, all he does is keep track of the stats all games, every game. And Glenn Sather was there in the press box. And he hadn't spoken in years. Like, he's always into the stats. And he just yelled at, would somebody push that guy out of the press box already? I mean, the frustration is just there. And I think it just needs to be vented in a good-natured way, but also, like you said, the press getting a hold of this and just maybe Glenn Sather's niece will say, or granddaughter will say, Grandpa, they want you fired.
I know. And, you know, Marcy is, that's in the chat, she's one of the people that are helping organize this rally big time, and she pulled some strings, and there's going to be an article in the Star Ledger next week, I believe. So I know somebody called Steve Somers last night on WFAN when I was and I heard it when I was driving home from practice, and the rally got a mention on there. So, you know, as long as people keep, you know, opening their mouths about it, and, you know, and we go about this in a good way, and on March 7th we don't, you know, look like screaming idiots and just, you know, be kind of professional about the whole thing, and it'll go well. I think this has a chance to go very well for us. So,
yeah.
All right. Without further ado, let's bring in Paulie. Paulie, welcome to the program.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, Paulie.
Anytime, brother. We love you. Hey. All right. So, what's your major beef with this?
Well, listen, I understand New York Ranger fans are the most passionate fans in all the world. I am one, and I'm very passionate about the New York Rangers, as you both know. Let me throw a couple of scenarios at you. Let me ask you this. Let's say you accomplish your goal here. Glenn Sather gets fired.
Yep.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. Who takes over?
Okay.
And what do you have in mind as fans? What is your mindset of what you would like to see different with the New York Rangers? You're not going to get rid of the three very ugly contracts that are on the board. It's not fire Sather and take everybody with you. It doesn't work that way. Fire Sather, you get rid of, so you accomplish your goal. What's next? Where do you go next? Who's out there that you feel would be legitimate? and someone who can actually build this franchise the way I guess you and a few hundred people think it should be built? That's my first question. My second question, you know, I mean, you're talking about one of the biggest franchises in the game of hockey. I think, you know, as much as people don't like Glenn Sather and think that he might be obsolete and he's, you know, no longer in the Edmonton Oilers, there's not many guys available right now that could really ring the dinner bell for us, guys. And please don't say Mark Messier, because
I would not say Mark Messier.
If you look at the history of Don Maloney, Don Maloney went into a GM position and absolutely, I don't know if he did it on purpose or not, but totally destroyed the New York Islanders. And, you know,
10,
12, 15 years later, is finally getting the gist of what it is to be a general manager. It's not an easy position, gentlemen. There's legalities that are very much involved. There's a lot of things. So my question to you, Mike, first and foremost, is you accomplish your goal. Who steps up now?
Well, you have to look at somebody from outside the organization and somebody that's in a winning organization. I would take a look at Jim Neal. He's the assistant GM in Detroit. He's been under Kenny Holland for 12 years. He's been in the organization for 15 years, and that organization just knows how to win. That's where you have to start looking. You have to look at an organization that has had success over the last 10, 15 years.
Do you know that this man is interested in the job?
I don't know that he's definitely interested, but I think that if you're calling somebody, he's got to be on the top of your list.
Well, hey, he had an answer for you, Paulie. And look,
okay,
going into the Detroit organization, worked for the Rangers pretty well about 20 years ago.
And another thing is, we're gonna have a statement that we're gonna have read and we're gonna hand out to the press and all of these things that we feel that should be done or that we would like to see done, we're gonna outline all of that in our statement. So.
Paulie, can I just – I just want to jump in real quick. And you know, I think it's much more – I think there's more to this than just trying to get, you know, Glenn Sather fired and who's going to replace him. I just think it's time the fans band together and bring their voice to this organization, because the organization has been, you know, as Eddie likes to say – disconnecting from its fans for years. You know, for the last 10 years, they've grown further. This relationship between the fans and the organization is growing apart. It's becoming a very bad marriage is what it is. And, you know, whether there's an answer, whether the ideal man to come in and take over the organization is there or not, I just think it's great that the fans are banding together just like they do on our website and your show and our show and letting their voice be heard and saying we've had enough.
And Jim, I can appreciate that. But what my whole concept of this, my whole idea of this is, if you accomplish your goal of what you've set out to do, okay, I think you hurt the franchise for quite some while, because, you know, let's face it, guys. And I hate to say this, you look inside some of the big teams. Okay, you look at Toronto Maple Leafs. First of all, Toronto is the highest earning hockey club in the NHL, and then it's the New York Rangers, Detroit Red Wings. You look up and down, and you know you really have to consider what you're set out to do. So you're set out to fire Glenn Sather, and even if it works, which, you know, if it works, great. I'm glad you accomplished your goal. The bottom line is this, guys. We might all hate to admit it. The NHL is a business, just like everyone else has a business, just like Blog Talk Radio is a business. There's no way, and there's nobody on this panel or as a Ranger fan, will tell me this. If this team looked like the New York Islanders do for the last 10, 12 years, You're still going to buy tickets? You're still going to go to the games? That's an outright lie, gentlemen. I'm sorry. You're not. You want a winning team or someone who can compete. Granted, the Rangers aren't the greatest team in the NHL, but they sure aren't the worst team in the NHL. You're trying to build a franchise. I understand that. We got three really bad contracts that'll keep us down. But you cannot tell me that this New York Rangers team looked like the New York Islanders team because you want to rebuild all over again. It's never. There's no way.
But
there's no way.
Paulie, I don't just think it's a. This is my take on it. Okay, this is just me talking as a 30 plus year fan of this team. I don't think it's just about this year's team. I don't think it's just about Chris Drury and Wade Redden and Michael Roosevelt and you know, anybody, Alex Kotelik and Enver Leeson. I don't think it's just about them. I think it's Bobby Holik and it's Brian Trottier and it's Ron Lowe and it's all the other mistakes of the last 10 years. I think it's everything. I think, you know, Ranger fans, I have finally come to the agreement in unison to say they've had enough, and I think that's what this is about. And you know, and I understand what you're. I believe me, I totally agree with understand what you're saying about, you know, running a business and who you're going to get that's better and things like that. But I just applaud anytime the fans have a voice. You know, look, we've seen it before, especially in New York. It's a, you know, in sports, it's a tough place to play. It's a tough place to be because the fans are tough, the media's tough, and we've seen coaches in all the major sports, coaches, GMs, players get run out of town because they don't perform and the fans get on them. I mean, you know, I don't know how big a football fan you are, but the, you know, Giant fans serenaded Ali Sherman when he was the head coach of the Giants. Goodbye, Ali, and that was it. Wellington Mara fired him. You know, they serenaded Jim Fossil out the door, and, you know, and Jim Fossil took him to a Super Bowl. But, you know, yeah, it's a business, but the fans have to have their voice, Paulie, and this is,
and
you know, they haven't
that.
Had that.
And I'm just going to give you one last thing, and I'd like to just suggest one thing here. There's an old saying that says, "Be careful what you wish for," and that's, you know, that's all I can really put here. There's really nobody out there that I think will be willing to take the job with the New York media the way it is. For one, for two, I mean, you're looking at starting scratch. If Dolan does fire Sather, he's going to Mark Messier, guys. That's where he's going. And I don't think Messier's ready to take on this team. And
those are the things that concern me. I don't agree that Messier's the first choice. I really don't.
All right. Go ahead. I want to kind of chime in on this. And this is not
ahead,
so
Eddie.
Much. Let's take Glenn Sather's ridiculous record of UFA signings out of the equation. Don't you think there is a certain brand of arrogance? And I mean arrogance,
yes,
and thumbing,
yes,
of the nose to the Ranger fan by this organization at this moment.
Yes.
I believe it.
Yep.
And I think that's what upsets the Ranger fans. If we had a guy who was out there saying, you know, I'm trying to make the team better, who doesn't come on and like via satellite and pre-tape things to tell us things we already know, and I believe that Glenn Sather is an arrogant man, and I don't know the man. I've interviewed a lot of guys, Paulie, and they say he's a great guy. He's a guy that will stand by you from thick and thin. Rick Carpinello said he did wonders during 9/11. He may be a great human being, and that's what I've heard. So he may be great. But I believe that he thinks we are just a bunch of New York. You're a former New York guy yourself. And maybe because you're a little bit removed from that, now you're not seeing what I'm seeing. Because when I go to the Garden, people are saying, you know, this guy just sits up there. He doesn't acknowledge us. You know, we've heard the story, the Ricky O story, the famous story about when Ricky said, listen, can I take a picture with you, Mr. Sather? And he said, if I must. Whereas opposed to when he met Lou Lamoriello at the same game, during the Lowell Devil Wolfpack scrimmage, Lou Lamoriello said, "Hey, you know, you're a Ranger fan?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, what can I do to change that?" And and Lou Lamoriello and his wife said, "Hey, you can get me a jersey." And Ricky's wife got a signed Jamie Langenbrunner jersey after he gave the address. That's what I'm talking about. And I think that's what Ranger fans are very upset about.
I don't want to sit here and be like, you know, maybe I'm coming across a little more different than I want to. I'm just worried that if this works, okay, you know, and the Rangers don't go, and a lot of people are saying Shoney, and you can say what you want to say, and I really hope that if Sather got removed, that we would pick up someone phenomenal. But, you know, again, I don't want to hope. I want to kind of know. I definitely don't want someone fresh coming into the New York Rangers because I think, you know, we'd be asking for a lot of trouble there. And I have to be honest, Mike. I think what you're doing is awesome. It's great to, you know, it's great to get the fans together and make your voices heard. One of the things that actually concerns me with this is, you know, looking at the way the New York Rangers have struggled this year and, you know, the belts are pretty tight right now. I think you guys are going to have a lot of success. And again, you know, and I'll repeat this, be careful what you wish for. To see Sather be removed and replaced with someone better, absolutely. But if we get fresh blood in there, that scares me. You know, a lot of people said J.D.
Why?
J.D.'s struggling.
Yeah, you know what, though? If J.D. was our GM, I wouldn't feel like there's an arrogance. I would see when playoff season tickets went on sale, J.D. would be out there saying, "Thanks, guys, for supporting the team for the playoffs and getting us here." And things that were done in the past under Neil Smith, whether you liked them or you didn't like them, he was there. This is unacceptable, this loss against Washington. You know, and just the, you know, it's not so
absolutely. I totally agree with that.
But I totally agree with that. I understand the future being uncertain is a scary thought. They could wind up with some guy who's worse. But
exactly.
I think they could. But I think Ranger fans are just sick and tired of this arrogance and the awful, awful public relations work they've done with the Ranger fans. I don't care how many charity events you have. They kind of take it for granted. The Ranger fans will pay, go to the game no matter what, no matter what how we act. And I got to take it from personal experience. Jim, me trying to deal with them is just impossible.
Right.
And I don't have to tell you, because you know it as well, they don't treat the ex-players pre-1994 the way they should be treated. And that is just, it's arrogance. I think that Blue Shirt United thing is a total, it's a slap in the face of the real Rangers fan club, which is the New York Rangers fan club, which only costs you $10 to join, that's been around for 50 years. Founded by Frank Boucher. So that's the thing. It's this whole, I guess it's kind of an anti-corporate thing in a way, too, because it is run like such a business. And hockey, yes, you're right, it is a business. But for us fans, it's not a business. And I don't think they made a connection at all. And you want to talk about us and the Islanders, and I'm never going to say this team is as bad as the Islanders. We went through 7 years of no playoff. Now, granted, they weren't all Sather years, but the fans still came out after 7 consecutive years of the New York Rangers not even making the playoff. That is disgusting. That is disgusting. And players don't want to come here anymore. I'm sorry. Why would you come to a team that doesn't win? I don't care if it's in New York, the greatest city in the world, in my opinion. So I guess my summation is, it's not so much the buffoonery or the job. It's just the arrogance in the way they relate to the fans. I you know, that's the thing that irks me.
Real quick, I brought James wanted to chime in on this. James, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me, guys?
Okay, yes. And DB, hang in there 1 second. I'll get to you in just a minute. Thanks for holding on. Oh, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Paulie's, you know, I understand what he's saying, and I, of course, understand what Mike is trying to do. But it's like Ed said, I mean, it's the fans knowing that it's the same old thing year after year with the bad contracts, the bad play, the Theo Fleury contracts and the, you know, except and Bobby Holik and all those guys. And the thing is that at one point when they went on strike or lockout, whatever it was, we had the chance to get rid of some guys and because of the cap and everything. And they were able to do that and almost start over. And it still ended up turning out bad for us with Sather at the helm. So that was kind of the thing that bothers me. It's years later now, we're 5 years later, and still the bad contracts can't get rid of. Going to be on the books for a few more years. I mean, those are the things that the fans are tired of. And also, as Ed said, you know, just the public relations standpoint, and they want money for everything. And the only thing, the only way they're getting that place filled up every day is those corporate seats. I mean, the corporate.
And they're not
corporate
even
people.
Doing that anymore.
What's that?
They're not even doing that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you watch the games; they're sold. The seats are sold, and people aren't using them. I guess that counts as a sellout.
Yeah.
But.
Not, well, this year. That, you know, I've gone to a ton of games, and,
right.
And this year, more than ever, I've seen more empty seats in the club sections, and I don't think they're being it's the same seats every game. It's not like it's, you know, different small pockets. It's the same seats every game.
Right.
So I think they're having a real tough time, and I know the economy's bad, but you know, people just aren't buying those club tickets anymore.
Yeah, and hopefully they don't. I mean, if the team continues to be run this way, and that's one of the other things, the way it's run, and as Ed said, you know, and it's just the smugness of Sather. I mean, you see him sitting there with a cigar, like he's watching over this thing of gold that he has, and he really doesn't. He has a great franchise, but it isn't gold. As for fans, we know it isn't gold anymore. I mean, we want to see a team be built from the ground up. We want to see the draft picks utilized the right way. We want to see these guys, the production from the minors, and be brought up at the right times. And these guys, sometimes they play around with different things and they'll bring guys up and they're sending them down. And, you know, it's like the teams, they don't know what they're doing. And their draft, the picks have been horrible. The huge specimen thing was a total bust. I mean, all of these guys... Right, all of these picks over all these years, where are they? They're nowhere. And you have all these other teams have so many guys that came up from some of those years, and they've been playing for so many years now, and we have like nothing to show for it. Hopefully, in the next few years, it'll be a little bit different. But I understand what Paul is saying, because you get rid of Sather, who the hell are you going to get? Well, I guess that with any team, any sports franchise, when they fire somebody, they might have a guy in mind, but sometimes they just do it, and they're going to go out digging around and seeing what they can find out there. You know, they're going to make calls and see who's interested. And I have to admit, Mike had a good answer there in Detroit. Maybe Neil will want to come. I mean, that would be great. But it's just the fans being basically fed up. And to go out and voice their opinion, I'm all for it. It's done the right way. It's nothing going to be done, you know, from what I hear, it's going to be done peacefully and just to have the voice heard and let people know that we're tired of it and we want something different and we want a change if it's going to continue to be this way.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you something.
I get
with
it.
The,
I get it.
Mike, with the, are you guys going to have what's the police situation going to be?
Well, there's going to be I'm going to be working with this detective over the next couple of weeks. My mom knows him from the police department and whatnot. But there's going to be barricades set up. That's all we've really talked about so far, is just the getting barricades set up on the sidewalk. So.
They said they'll have extra cops down there with you guys, or has that not been talked about?
I believe so. I believe there will be. It just depends on how much bigger this thing gets. The amount of people. The day it gets closer, and it looks like we're going to get, you know, we're definitely going to get over 1,000 people. There's going to be extra cops, and they might move us a little bit, and set up more barricades. So it all just depends on the day getting closer and how many people are going to show up. But I'm going to be in contact with him pretty regularly when the day gets closer about that. So.
Hey, guys, a quick update. Sweden won. Hank got a 2-0 shutout.
Wow.
Oh, there you go. There you
how
go.
How many shots? Oh,
I have the sound down, but, man, they won 2-0, and they put a barrage of shots on Germany and stuff. And I'm surprised they only scored 2 goals, but Hank looked good. I mean, it's that first career shutout I just read underneath there in the Olympics. So, once again, he stands tall and could prove that he could win in that pressure setting.
Yep. Now, Mike, I wanted to ask you, actually not ask you, but let the fans know, you're not just some, I mean, you're a young guy, but
yep.
Your story I find very, I hate to say heartwarming, but it kind of is because, a lot of people say, well, this kid, he ain't a diehard fan. He's doing this to be a Facebook, put the focus on himself. Everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame in Rangerland, which basically I'm looking for. But you, tell them your situation on your season ticket, because I really felt that very interesting when you told us first about that, what you do in order to get your season tickets, and you tell them the story.
Well, up until the year after the lockout, my aunt who had season tickets for, 30 plus years down in the 200s, she was always bringing me to games. My father had tickets the year they won the cup and the year after. So I was always at games when I was growing up. And then after that, 05-06, well, actually, during the playoffs that year, I waited outside for playoff tickets for, 12 hours. I was there at 6 o'clock in the morning to go get tickets the next morning. So, and then that summer, I worked a summer job and decided, I wanted to get my own tickets. So the last couple summers, I've been working summer jobs to pay for my tickets. And I always go to the games on the island and in Jersey. Last year, I made a trip out to Pittsburgh for a weekend game with a couple friends. This year, we're doing Toronto in March. So, I'm not just one of those 20-year-old kids who goes to a ton of games because the daddy gives him, tickets all the time.
I
pay for that in my own pocket. I could care less if anybody knows who I am 6 months from now. I don't care about any of the fame or whatever. I mean, if I can sit there, there's a group of 10 other people who are helping me out a ton that don't get the credit that they deserve. I could care less about people knowing who I am. It's just the point of what this is about and what we want to get done, and that's really what matters to me. It's not about fame or whatever.
Are you surprised by the way it's been received?
Well, it pretty much all I've heard were just positive things so far, I'm not really too surprised about that because people are fed up with the way the organization is being run, but it's all been pretty good things so far, so it's not really too surprising.
All right,
I just want to throw this in here real quick, Mouth. Mike, once again, I wish you guys a lot of luck. Have a lot of fun. I appreciate the overall, joy and love for the game and being fans of the New York Rangers, and I understand the passion. So I don't want you to think I'm your enemy here. I'm a very skeptical person when something like this comes up.
Right.
But, my biggest question is this, and I know you said you're pretty young, and unfortunately, I wish I was pretty young again, but, we've seen this game of hockey change from, something that we used to love to something that we really enjoy now. I mean, I love the old-style, banging, crashing, North American-style hockey. Today, it's much more European-style.
Right.
My question to you and... hopefully, if you succeed on this one, I would really hope that fans like yourself would really aim for Gary Bettman's head, because I believe the man has destroyed this game of hockey more so than anybody else that you can gun for.
Who's going to replace Bettman?
Get a monkey.
I'll use your argument for Sazer. Who's going to replace Bettman?
The chimp.
Exactly. Exactly.
A couple of gorillas, a chimp, they'll do a good job.
You know what, Mouth? I'm sure there's plenty of people who want that job, and there's plenty of people who are qualified. But more importantly, it has to be somebody who was previously involved in the game of hockey.
I would definitely agree with that.
You know, I mean, you're taking an NBA guy who failed in the NBA and came to the NHL and has just failed here as well. So, Mike, I would ask you this, man. If you succeed on this, I'm going to help you get Bettman buried next, because to me that is the most important thing in the game of hockey.
I'll be the first signature man.
Look at Paulie hit you this star.
Let's take care of this, and we'll get working on that. No problem
how about
at
they,
all. I agree with you.
How about they switch jobs?
Oh, God.
There'll be no franchise left.
But, Mike, I hope you have success, and, you know, I really hope the Rangers, if this happens, they bring in someone fabulous and the New York Rangers can change and we can all clap hands and high-five you and thank you for everything. But, you know, if the franchise goes underneath, then we're coming after you, man.
Oh,
I'm only kidding, Mike.
All
right, Paulie.
Thanks a lot, Paulie.
Not a problem. Thanks, guys.
Take care,
Paul. All right. I'm going to bring in DB Maven. DB, thanks for holding. I appreciate it. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Good.
What's your take on all of this?
Well, first I want to say, Mike, I applaud what you're doing, and I know that Marcy's in the chat room and she's involved too, and I think you guys are it's a long time coming, and I hope you get a tremendous outpouring of true Ranger fans voicing their opinion.
We're hoping for.
And it's all you can hope for, man. And it sounds like you're doing everything the right way and you got the right motivation. And, you know, that's all you can ask for. And the bottom line is that, as I kind of said it in the chat room earlier, that what you're doing is you're putting faces and a voice to the disgruntled Ranger fan. If nothing else happens, you have raised the perception of the fact that people are fed up, and that, if nothing else, may get some attention. Whether you get Sather fired or not is probably not the key point. It's whether you get the organization as a whole to wake up. It's my opinion, and now I'm going off on my opinion. You knew it was coming, right, Jim?
Of course. That's why you're here.
It's my opinion that Sather isn't the root of the problem.
Oh.
And a lot of people in the chat room
have
said
it. It comes from higher up than that.
It's exactly. It's Dolan, okay? I have to believe that Dolan is the guy every spring wants that playoff series for the extra revenue. And he tells Sather, go out and do what you got to do. I don't care if it works or not. I want a playoff series. Because you've got to look back and say that as smart of a hockey guy that Sather used to be, and it's documented, he did a phenomenal job. Yeah, he didn't necessarily bring in all the people, but he's got a track record of at least being decent, okay? That he never would have made some of the decisions that got made on his own. It just, it's not freaking possible. Nobody could be that stupid over that long a period of time. It's just not, physically possible. It's
dementia.
Just not possible. Well, no. The guy knows how to, you know, feed himself and he knows how to light a cigar, so it's not dementia. Okay? There's something else
that's
got to be going on
form.
Here. Okay? And, yeah. Oh, my God. But the bottom line is you're bringing up to public view, and here's a couple of things that I would strongly suggest. If you haven't thought of them, great. If you have, even better. Get yourself tied in with somebody who's done some political stuff and who's run rallies. All right, and can get you into the whole how do you get a crowd hyped up and what kind of slogans can you put together and what kind of banners can you have, because you want it to be something that attracts attention. As people are filing into the garden, they're going to stop. They're going to want to know what's going on. And you don't want to get it out of control, but you definitely want to attract attention. You also want to alert the news media. Who do you really want to alert? You want to alert Time Warner Cable. Now, you may love them or you may hate them, But if it has anything to do with making Dolan look bad, they're going to jump on it. They're going to jump on it. Okay?
And
these
we
are the kinds of things.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You said.
Oh, I mean, when we first started this whole thing, that first week, you know, we tried, getting a hold of you know, the beat guys and other news outlets. We heard back from a couple guys, and they, you know, they asked us to update them when the day gets closer. But you know, we've done that already. We're gonna do that as, you know, I think we still have 2.5 weeks left here. We're gonna do that as the day gets closer. And that, and I honestly haven't thought of contacting somebody that has put together a rally before. I didn't actually think of that at all. So that'll be something that's on our agenda for the next 2 weeks now also. So we're in the process of getting minds made up also. So we're doing things, but that was a great idea with contacting somebody.
You know, and so said it in the chat room and everything. The bottom line is, you know, you're in a city of X million, 12 million, whatever it is, people. You've got a ton of the club and lower level seats that are basically sold to corporate entities or senior executives at, you know, whatever companies, and they buy them for a tax write-off, okay, whether it's the corporation itself or a president or a CFO or whatever. So those seats are sold. The majority of seats in the garden are sold. Whether there's a butt in the seat or not, the revenue is still there. And see, this is one of the things that hurts a movement like this, because the only thing that Dolan understands is the pocketbook. That's it. If it hits him in the wallet, it's going to hurt him. He's going to wake up. The other problem that you've got is the fact, and it's not a problem, and, you know, Paulie probably read my dissertation from a couple of weeks ago. You know, the Rangers are in a situation where they own the garden outright. There's no debt. They own the teams, and they split the costs, if you will, on Madison Square Garden between the Knicks and the Rangers. So it's not even one team that's got to bear all the costs. The entire, all of the concessions are completely done in-house. Every beer, every hot dog, every whatever, every jersey, everything that gets sold there, that's pure profit. They don't have to split it with anybody. That's one of the very few cases in the entire league. All right, there's like three or four of them that have that kind of an arrangement. Almost all cases, you've got incredible amounts of concession money that gets split with an Aramark or some of these concession places that run the thing and take a percentage. The Rangers do it all themselves. So you're fighting a battle that's incredibly difficult to win. All I can say is go for it, babe. Fight the good fight. I love it.
There you go, DB. There you go. You got the official endorsement of DB Maven. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's some good advice, too.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
very
what.
Some good advice there.
He is, and he doesn't call him the voice of reason for nothing.
He's educated. He knows his puck. He knows the ins and outs. I love the guy. He bought me lunch.
That's right. He bought us. Most importantly, bought us lunch.
That would be me and Ed would go there for food. You know, they can have a buffet.
No, but but DB, you bring up such great points, and I was going to PM you this. That I think that was your best appearance on this show. I really thought that was great. It warmed the cockles of my heart.
As long as it had nothing to do with testicular appendages, I'm good with it.
We got just about a minute to go, guys. We just want to real quick thank everybody for listening. And I believe we will be back on the air next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock.
With Joey Pacino.
And Mike, you're going to join us again on March 3rd, right? We're scheduled.
Correct.
We got you down, and we'll finalize everything.
And that's trade deadline day too.
That's right. That should be a pretty exciting show when we make another trade for another overage goon. Can't wait for that. And so we got the fire stator rally on March 7th. And hold on, I'm trying to find it. Give me a second. Here we go.
Previously on Lost.
And Eddie, you're going to be down at the rally. We're going to be broadcasting live. We should be. I'm sure we will be the only outlet to actually broadcast the madness live. So we'll see you next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Guys.
We're off. We're no longer streaming. So, Mike, thanks again for joining us, buddy. You are doing a fantastic job with this. I applaud you. Glad you got Marcy to help you out. She's great. She's been coming in every week. And we thank you personally for all the other people you have brought to our show, because ever since we've had you on the first time, we have noticed an increase in our audience. So you have managed to not only rally the troops for this Fire Stator rally, but you are bringing more people to our show and our website, and we appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for giving me an opportunity, guys. It means a lot, and I'll be talking to you guys soon.
Okay. All right, Mike, take care. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, take it easy, guys. Have a good night.
All right, good night. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. James, take care, man. Great job, man. Good conversation.
Gotta love the guy just for what he's trying to get done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. James is gone, by the way. I think he hung up.
I like the kid's story. I really, the guy is working a summer job for raging season tickets. I mean, that to me it shows passion. And again, I think it'll be fun, and I think Paulie D's just missing the mark, so to speak, even though I hit Mark earlier. I just think he's taking a little too seriously.
I think he's going to have success.
Paulie, are you there? Paulie's still there.
I'm here. I think he's going to have success. I think this is going to be successful. That's why it scares me. I think this is going to be successful. I really do.
Paulie, I didn't get a chance to say this during the show, but I disagree with you when you say that nobody's going to want that job. I think it's one of the premier jobs in the NHL, regardless of the media and the market.
I think Schoenfeld. I think of Schoenfeld. How many times has he turned down the coaching job? He don't even want to coach the New York Rangers. He's outright turned down the coaching job.
But that's because he knows Sather's going to give him shit to play.
Well, that's true. He's just a GM. He's seen firsthand this looniness.
Well, the word out in Schoenfeld is he doesn't like to deal with the media, not so much getting in fights with them, but even as the Devils coach, when he was the Devils coach way back when, he doesn't want to – he just is afraid of the media, and I don't think he wants to deal with the whole – and let's face it, there's a lot of nonsense that comes with the job. You know?
Yeah, well, my other concern is, like I said, I think you got a choice here, guys. I'm telling you, man. I think it's going to be Shoney or it's going to be Messier. I don't think he's going to go outside the box. I think he's going to keep it quiet. If it does it, he's going to let him go, and then he's going to, you know, put somebody in right away. And I don't know, man. It would be great because I understand. I understand why everybody wants to say they're gone. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just so worried about what will be placed there. I mean, and you know what, Mouth? You made a great point before when I talked about Gary Bettman. The last thing the Rangers need is another friggin' Gary Bettman. Because, I mean, it's just, we want to get better. I think Glenn Sather is middle of the pack. We want to get better. We don't want to fall back any more than we have already.
How about if Tortorella becomes the GM?
Tortorella is not a GM.
I think you need somebody with
Glenn Sather's voice. So,
Tortorella is barely a coach half the time.
How about Randy?
Yeah, I really, I really think that you know, a lot of it boils down to, I really believe that a lot of this is not Sather, okay? And the bottom line is he'll end up being the scapegoat if and when the time comes. And you at least have to look at Dolan and say, all right, look at what he's done with the Knicks. He at least went out and hired an intelligent lifetime basketball guy to be the president/GM and let the guy do his thing. You know, whether he can turn it around in a 2-3-4 year period or not, at least he recognized the errors, got rid of the schmuck that was in there, hired a real basketball guy, an older guy to boot, all right, and is giving him the chance to do something. Hopefully the same thing will happen here. Paulie, I don't disagree with you. It's scary to think of what could happen. The only hope you've got is to look at what he's done with the Knicks and hope that something similar comes of it. I would be very happy to see Schoenfeld, I've said this before, as the GM. He knows the system. He knows the guys in the system. And even if it's as an interim GM,
right,
a two-year contract or something, he would be the perfect guy, if nothing else, for continuity. I happen to believe the opposite of you. I don't think that this is going to get Glenn Sather fired. I really don't. The guy would literally have to pull something as insane as what went on with the Knicks. You know, there would have to be something crazy to get him booted, and I just don't see that happening. You know, they pull a Bill Clinton with his cigars. Who knows? But, you know, anything's possible. You can always hope, right? But
well,
I don't see that happening.
This guy's legacy before he came to the Rangers was pretty good. But you're talking about a guy who now his legacy is so tarnished. I think at least it's tarnished after all this futility. And maybe because we're in North America and it's just not followed, the Rangers stink. Nobody really cares. If this was happening in Calgary for, you know, all these years, I'm sure it would be, you know, it would be, you know, major news. But don't you
We'd
think
be laughing
just
at it.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't they just be – don't you think he ever thinks to himself, you know, let me get out. Let me get out now. You know, why I still got something.
Why? Well, let me ask you this. Why would he, when you put him up against – just go for the last – oh, I don't know, 90, when was the CBA? 2004? Just go back 10 years. Just go back 10 years, okay? And, Paulie, you brought it up, and I laid it all out and everything in that dissertation. Why would he want to quit when the Maple Leafs haven't done jack squat and haven't even been in the damn playoffs?
Right.
He's a success compared to the Maple Leafs. Oh, my God.
Yep. Absolutely.
He's a freaking genius. He's a genius compared to what they've had. I can't imagine.
Mark.
I can't imagine. When I looked up and did the research for that, I could not imagine being a Maple Leafs fan up there paying what they pay for seats and not even getting into the playoffs for that period of time. I would kill myself.
Well, you know, DB, here's the other thing, too, that a lot of people just haven't really looked at or talked about. That's why I brought up the Maple Leafs. But you look at Burke, you look at Gainey. I mean, and we're talking about the two biggest franchises in the game of hockey. When you're talking about the Maple Leafs and you're talking about the Canadiens, I mean, that really is what hockey's all about there. I don't think they're fantastic general managers, guys. I'm sorry. I don't think either one of them are any better or actually could really shine Glenn Sather's shoes, to be honest with you. Now,
and,
if you want to talk about
– Paulie, to make your point, Gainey stepped down and they got somebody worse in the job.
Well, I mean, I know he stepped down, but, I mean – you know, my point is if you look around the NHL, there aren't many dynamic general managers. You got Lou Lamoriello, Of course, you know, you got – people could say what they want about Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh just – they got lucky. They built properly. I thought they were favored, very favored by the NHL. They won the lottery with Sidney Crosby, like nobody knew that was going to happen, and all this other horse crap. But, you know, you look around and there's not that many dynamic general managers. I think that we have a better general manager than the majority. Yes, there are four or five that are much better, but we don't have the worst general manager in and I'm talking about hockey related items. Now, Malph, I understand your point when you talk about public relations is terrible. You know, yeah. Does that need to be addressed? Absolutely. Do they need to hire a public relations person who should handle, you know, more of the public relations with the fans? You know, more than
they
likely. But I'm talking about hockey operations.
They don't want to hire that. They're a freaking media company, and they can't deal with the media. They don't want to. That's
right,
a fundamental issue. Now, you know, go back to Toronto. You're talking about Brian Burke. He just got the freaking job. You can't even look at Toronto and say, that's Brian Burke's team. It's becoming his team because he's done a lot in the last 3 months, whatever. Okay, but before that, it was Pat Quinn and John Ferguson. You're not talking about – you're right. What I'm trying to say is you have hockey people. Both of those guys are hockey people. They didn't succeed up there. They did not succeed. Burke, I got to tell you, when I look at that Toronto team now and after these last round of trades, they scare me. Scare me. They are going to be a hell of a good hockey team, and you look at Kadri and the drafting that they've done, they're going to be a damn good hockey team. So here's Burke who just got the job in 08, and boy, the jury's out on him, but it's looking awful damn good.
I agree.
You know what, DB, though? Coming out of the summer, with all the free agent signings and all the things that he did, that team came in and looked awful. He took a chance on a lot of different players,
and
the team was
horrible.
Granted, he has rectified the situation right now. I think he's got very lucky with some of the deals that he made.
Absolutely.
I knew Jaguar was going to wind up in Toronto. I said it in one of my shows probably 6 months before it happened, because – you knew Jaguar was going to go somewhere, and why not with Toronto? They're struggling in net, and Brian has a love for the guy. So, I mean, that trade gets made. You have to know, you have to see that coming all day long, and he was willing to take on the money. You know, but you coming out of this summer, they were the worst team in hockey. So, I mean,
absolutely.
At the same time, it's a crapshoot out there. And my only
there's
point,
your,
again,
there's
DB,
the bottom
is
line.
That,
you're right.
You know, my only point with this is that we have a general manager who's a little bit, I think, a little bit better than middle of the pack. It could be a lot worse. Believe
Absolutely.
Me, it could be a lot worse. You know, we could add Don Maloney 10 years
devil,
ago. You know, so
the,
I mean, I, that's my
well,
only
well,
concern.
Judging from some of the traits, I think we do have Don Maloney.
Well, see, there's the other part. But the devil you know can often be better than the one you don't know. There's definite truth to that. But if you look at the history, here's what I'll do. Just look at this deal for Jody Shelley. Like it, hate it, whatever, okay? We thought, right, based on some of the things that had gone on, that Sather had kind of learned his lesson and was building through the draft. Then he goes out and spends, I don't care if it's a sixth round or it could be a fifth round, it's a lower than fourth round draft pick on a 34 or 5-year-old enforcer for 20 games. Are you serious?
But, DB, here's
like,
my issue with that
wait,
now.
But this,
see,
this
now,
is,
I got to
is...
swing the bat here.
Let me finish.
For the last 6 months that this team isn't tough enough and that Donald Brashear is not doing his job. And everyone has seen it. Tortorella has commented about it. So the man goes out and gets a top 5 fighter in the NHL and everybody wants to stomp their feet. This is what I say makes no sense to me. We bitched and moaned 2 weeks ago that Gabbert got his face punched in and nobody did anything about it. The man goes out and gets a top five glove dropper, and now it's a bad trade or it's a bad decision. I'm sorry.
Breath.
I disagree.
Take a breath.
Paulie, calm down.
Take two breaths. Take two breaths. You didn't let me finish, right? The bottom line is, for 20 games, you gave up a sixth round or a fifth round potentially draft pick. When, and we talked about it last night, I don't know if you missed it or not, Ricky said it, you could have brought Byers up for 20 games and saved the sixth or the fifth round draft pick.
Yeah, well,
that would have addressed the issue without losing a draft pick. This is my point.
Byers is
this
not
is
ready to
point.
Come in the league and be a heavyweight.
He totally
you got yourself
to,
a top five heavyweight
wait,
right
whoa,
now.
Whoa. How many times are you going to have a heavyweight fight in 20 games? Tell me. And Byers couldn't handle himself for those.
If you make the playoffs and have to play the Philadelphia Flyers, you're going to be happy you have a Sheldon Surrey, my friend. Look around
actually,
the East.
No, because I'll be pissed that we're in the freaking playoffs.
Well,
because we don't
I'm
belong
different.
In
I
the playoffs.
I want to see success.
Playoffs?
I want to see
playoffs.
Success.
Playoffs? All right.
I want to see success. I understand what you're saying.
My daughter's yelling for me. When are you getting off the radio, Daddy? So it's time to go.
Have fun, guys. Good talk.
All right, guys.
You.
See you Tuesday night. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Later.
Take care, gents. Good night.
Good night.